You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello and welcome to the Blood Red Podcast. I am your host, Stephen Killen. And it's the international break this week, and some of our star players have jetted off around the world, or so they say. So in this edition, I'm joined by a first team member in Theo Squires, and also one of our fringe players in Tom Cavilla. Tom, how are you? It's a bit of a return from... Is it a long-term injury, do you think?
I'm not sure if it can be called that or not, but I have to make a Rigi cameo appearance on the podcast today.
Bit of a resurgence in your career then,
yeah. Hopefully, yeah.
And I'm joined by Theo. I think it's always chaos when me and you are on these podcasts together, isn't it? So hopefully, but more calmer one today.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Nice 30-minute job done and dusted to get it on. What else is there to talk about? You're going to have to keep us going here, because apart from international football, which we all love so much, and Legends football, which we all love so much, yeah, you might be scraping the barrel.
Yeah, no. But before we get our teeth into some juicy international break action, I'd like to thank our sponsors for this episode, NordVPN. A bit more about them later, but Theo, me and you were at the Legends game on Saturday, Ajax against Liverpool. Some of the stars from yesteryear, as we've seen, and they put on a bit of a show, albeit after 60 minutes, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Liverpool, they ran out 4-2 winners. What were they, 2-0 down at half-time? I'm not sure about you, but at half-time, I'm sat there thinking, oh, this is going to be a difficult one to turn around. It didn't look like that they were going to come back and win. It was looking at that point, they were struggling to score. But they bring on the subs, and against a rather old Ajax squad, shall we say. They turned it on the second half. Like the players we're used to seeing doing really well in these games, like Mark Gonzalez, he came on and got a couple of assists. Was it Gregory Vignal got the first? Djibril Cissé scored off the bench. And Nabil El Shaarawy rather selfishly scored the third when he had Fernando Torres to his side. But the pace he used there to leave him for dead was brilliant. And then Torres eventually gets his goal. He missed so many chances. And it was the one we all were there to see. So it was a nice day all around, wasn't it? It had a bit of everything.
And Tom, you've been to these Legends games a few times. For those who don't really go or have not really seen the behind the curtain, what have you... What have been your experiences of it?
I think it's just a good experience to see some players from the past. Obviously, a lot of favourite players of a lot of people playing them. And it's usually a good chance for people that maybe don't go to the games as much, that tend to go to these matches a bit more. So it's more of a family sort of orientated feel to it. So you see a lot of more children probably going than usual. I believe Joe Rimmer took his son to the game, so there you go. That's an example of that. Yeah, I think it's a nice day, isn't it, for the people that are there? It's not really ever a hostile atmosphere, as you'd imagine. It's a lot more relaxed than a normal game, and there's not really much pressure on the match in terms of, you know, there's not a great expectation on goals or what's going to happen. We got a few crunching tackles, I think, when Roy Keane played at Anfield. But apart from that, it's all very friendly, and you know they seem to have lost that kind of competitive edge from their careers, maybe. But it's always a good game, and they seem to be ones that I've seen in the past. There was a couple of them that were a bit lacking tempo-wise.
The Legends struggled a bit after the pandemic, didn't they? They hadn't done it for 2-3 years, so they hadn't had the 90 minutes running around downfield.
Some of them are really... Luis Garcia always looks like really good. He's in good shape still, isn't he? So, a few of them have not quite kept to that, but he's definitely one of them.
it's got to the stage now where they just make me feel old. Because I remember when these Legends games were first happening, and it was before they were all official with the Foundation and with the Forever Reds, and it wasn't every few years. Every year it was every few years. Like, you think they did one for the Tsunami, they did one, a couple for Hillsborough, and it was the Legends of the 70s and 80s, like Phil Thompson, Kenny Dalglish, Rush, Aldridge, and you're thinking, oh, they played years ago.
I think even Jan Morby got a run out of one.
Yeah, all these players, it was so, so long ago. But then it comes around at you fast, doesn't it? Like, that gap there, those 20 years, it's now the same since Istanbul, and we're looking at this team of mainly Rafa Benitez's legends, and when you've got like a Torres in there as well, can't be 20 years since these were playing for Liverpool. It's madness. This comes around so quickly.
Was even Vendrick scoring for Brazil? He was born after the Zidane headbutt, wasn't he?
Yeah, making me feel even older now.
But before we go on to the international stuff, obviously with the LFC Foundation, for those who don't know, they ran the game, and obviously they helped 120,000 people last season alone. And previous games raised over 6.4 million, and obviously there was a sort of a pantomime atmosphere at times, wasn't there, when there wasn't penalties, and it felt like the script was always written for that Torres and Gerrard combination one more time. But like you said, Torres just didn't seem to, the wavelength is sort of, it's just simmered down a bit now, hasn't it?
Yeah, he joked about that, didn't he, in the post-match press conference, saying that we tried as hard as we could, it just wasn't quite there. But he still, he looked sharp, he looked in good shape. I don't think he's actually played since he retired 5 years ago. He did make a cheeky little hint that he intends to come back next year and be in better condition for that. But he still was lively, getting involved. Like, he hit the post, he had a couple of air kicks where he lands on his backside. There was some good movement there. Couple of shots he should have done better with, and the one he scores is the worst of the lot, isn't he?
Still never nearly winning as well.
It just scrambles it in, the low cross, the keeper makes a hash of it. But Torres, he's one of those players that I'm not starstruck by him, I'm not in awe of him, but when you're there watching him play and then you're doing the press conference, you can, that's Fernando Torres, this is pretty cool. And we don't have that often in this job, because you don't take it for granted, but you're used to it so often. Like, people come up to me and go, oh, what's it like being in a Jurgen Klopp press conference, what's he's like? But because you're doing it 2-3 times a week, it's just normal, isn't it? It's just life. And it's the same when you go and do open training session and you're there and you've got Virgil van Dijk spraying it or Mohamed Salah. Like, you don't have that studdedness to it because you just see them so often. But when it's someone like Fernando Torres, who grew up and scored so many goals for Liverpool, he's like, wow, he is one of the best players in the world. Gives that bit of magic back. I know in the mixed zone, obviously with these sorts of games, all the fans lights they come in, don't they? So they're there getting photographs, getting selfies, getting autographs. They're in the Liverpool shirt. We don't do that in the side of the industry, do we? Stiff upper lip. It's like, no, we're much more professional than that. But it must be nice to get that opportunity where it is still exciting. It's still so nice for you to be that close to him and get that opportunity, because that's something that we were robbed long ago when we decided that this was the career for us.
And just if you're watching on YouTube and Facebook, make sure you leave a comment and or a question just to let us know what you think and what your thoughts are on the main talking points that we're going to run through shortly. Got a producer Ian behind the camera, who you might have seen messing with the microphone. But Tom, on the talking point, Torres, because he was obviously one of the star attractions, there's a lot of debate after the game about his reception, because Theo and I were both there, and we've seen that every shot, every touch was celebrated like a goal itself. But
even in the warm-up, every goal he scored in the warm-up was getting cheered loudly.
And the talk about on social media was, should he be celebrated as much as he was after that unceremonious exit? Was it 12, 13 years ago? What's your take on it? Should he be lauded as this saviour, or as El Nino, or should he be... Put you on the spot a bit here, but what do you think on Torres?
I don't know. It's a difficult one, because I remember a time when he left, and like...
How old were you when he left?
I would have been 12.
He proper broke your heart.
I was very upset about it at the time.
Long after.
Yeah. No, it was 2011.
Yeah, January 2011.
13.
Makes all the difference.
Yeah. But... yeah, I was very disappointed when he went, and especially to Chelsea because of the rivalry at that time as well. And I don't know, it didn't ever seem right, him going there. You know, when I remember his first few weeks there, when he really struggled, and it just, the whole thing.
It's just first few months?
Yeah.
Just the entire 2-3 year period?
Yeah, and I just remember there was that ill feeling for quite a while. And I remember that game, I think it was the first game Liverpool played, and Daniel Agger just absolutely went for him with the elbow. And a lot of people were like, oh yeah, like celebrating that at the time, because they were like, yeah, he deserved it kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, that did kind of ruin the reputation a little bit. I mean, if it had been like going to Spain, back to Spain or something, I think it would have been a lot different. But the fact it was Chelsea, I think, outside of United, it's probably the worst team you can go. Obviously Everton as well, but not many players doing that.
For so many years after, or before that, there was the Champions League sort of showdowns, wasn't it? So that rivalry sort of built up a long time, and especially with Mourinho in Cardiff, wasn't it, where he ran down the touchline?
Yeah, and City weren't really that much of a rival then, so Chelsea and United were the two main ones. So to go to a rival, it wasn't, you know, it's hard to kind of get past that. So I can understand why people don't like him. I think that's fair enough. But I also can get why people like him as well, because he was a great player at Liverpool. So it's just a case of if you want to hold the grudge or not. I must admit, I do prefer Suarez to him. I know Suarez was very controversial as well. But
that's your age, though, I think.
Yeah. But no, I grew up watching Torres, and he was my favourite player, but I just...
Suarez... No, but I mean, like, it breaks your heart a bit more when you're that bit younger. So Torres going the way he did, probably my example would be more Owen going the way he did and then going to Manchester United, because obviously I'm a few years older. With Torres, I've forgiven him now. After the game, when I got home, I did message my mum going, do you still have my old Fernando Torres shirt? Because I remember I just chucked it at my brother when he left, when I came back from uni, just to see if it's still around. It's an interesting one with Fernando Torres, because he was so good for 2 years, 2.5 years. He was the best striker in the world for me. He just didn't win anything for Liverpool, and then he went to Chelsea in those really unsavoury circumstances. He won trophies with them, and he won them at Liverpool's expense. And it was at a time when Liverpool were in a really poor state, when you think the takeover had only just happened a couple of months earlier. They were trying to get rid of players, make some money. Joe Cole was discarded pretty quickly, and he said to us in an interview only a couple of months ago, FSG just wanted him off the wage bill. Like, you wanted these star players kept for the takeover so they could get more value for the club, but they wanted them off the wage bill so they could start from scratch and start with their younger model. And let's be honest, Torres was not the same player after the, let's say, 2010 World Cup, because he got injured there, having rushed back from injury with Liverpool during the months before, and he'd lost that sharpness. But because of everything Liverpool have achieved since he went, I think it's easier to forgive him. Like, he was the star player in that team when it was better than it had been at the start of Rafa's reign, but he was still that one player you take out. If Liverpool hadn't won all these trophies over the last few years, and Mohamed Salah had gone in, I don't know, 2020 to Man City, you'd hate him. There'd be that feeling there. But because Liverpool have, since Torres left, won the Premier League, won the Champions League, they've got a team now that isn't just one or two legends, it's 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 legends. You can just look back on those times a bit more fondly. The exception is Raheem Sterling, because he went to Man City. Yeah. That one still stings, I think, with a lot of fans, and it will sting a lot more than Fernando Torres, even though he said in the past that he'd like to come back to Liverpool one day if it arose, and there have been suggestions that he's tried to look into it, and it's just not been reciprocated from Liverpool. But he was still a kid who didn't really achieve much with Liverpool before going, whereas Torres came and he enjoyed his absolute best years. Liverpool got a good fee for him when his legs were starting to go. In hindsight, it was perfect timing for Liverpool. They got those memories that Chelsea, they can say, oh, he got the goal against Barcelona and he got us to Champions League, but he was still a bit part player for them, an expensive flop. Liverpool got one of the best strikers in Europe, but one of the best strikers in the world, and he was just one of us at that time, wasn't he? Like, the song, his arm improved, he was a red. We'll just overlook that horrible ending and say it's all forgiven now, because he's come back and he's still a Liverpool legend. He's delighted to be scoring from again. He's delighted to be wearing that shirt again. Yeah, time sealed it now.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
And Scott said in the comments he thought Torres played decent and just left his shooting boots in Spain. And
yeah,
so you could see after the game in the press conference he was happy, and we were obviously keeping on top of Ajax's social media as well, wasn't we? And there's a clip that we couldn't see without NordVPN, as it was geo-blocked, but thanks to our sponsors that allowed us to see the clip, didn't it, Theo? So it's so we were there and we seen how happy he was, and he was saying how much he sort of missed being in at Liverpool, and it sort of encapsulated that, didn't it? And the clamour was very much still there for him.
Yeah, if Liverpool had been in a much better position when he left, then I don't think he'd have left. It was just he wanted to win trophies. He'd left his club, Atletico Madrid, to come to Liverpool thinking he could win the Champions League, the Premier League, and then that rug was pulled out from underneath his feet and he had to go elsewhere to do it. And it was never the same for him. He never had that same relationship, but you can see why everyone was excited to see him back. He was the star attraction. Like, Gerrard's come back and done these games a few times now, so the magic's not worn off, but it's not quite the same as, oh, we're seeing Steven Gerrard again. Maybe it will be when it's like the last couple of times Gerrard's playing, which he alluded to, but to see Fernando Torres after all these years, it warms the heart.
And with all the speculation around managerial stuff at Liverpool, you managed to poke the bear a little bit, didn't you, by asking the question. If you haven't seen the quotes, Theo were talking through them, but there's obviously the full story on our website as well. But so, Theo, you obviously pushed him on Xabi and what his thoughts were as a manager, didn't you?
I wanted to be quite fair to him. I didn't want to ask him directly on a, do you think Alonso would be a good Liverpool manager, or should he come to Liverpool? Because they're not here for commenting on all about this. If they want to make that connection, fair enough. But I thought, I can ask him what he thinks of Alonso as a manager, because Torres is a manager himself. He was very full of praise for him, wasn't he? He came out and said he's already one of the best managers in the world. We can see that from what he was doing with the Sociedad Academy, never mind what he's doing now with Leverkusen, enjoying an unbeaten season. And the future's bright for him. Obviously, we don't know yet if that bright future will be at Liverpool or Bayern Munich or Real Madrid or just stay at Leverkusen. But hopefully we see him at Liverpool in the future. It was no surprise that Alonso wasn't in the squad, was it? Because he hasn't done either of the Legends games since he went to Leverkusen. I know Gerrard's come and played in this one despite being Etifak manager now. But with all that speculation about his future, it was wise for him to stay away. Maybe in 12 months' time, he can come and make this glorious return as a Liverpool legend. But as Liverpool manager as well, he'd get them such a good reception. I remember going to Ibrox when they played Rangers Legends and Gerrard played for both teams. And that was a celebration of him as well, because it was when all the talk was big about, can he be future Liverpool manager? Can he win the league for Rangers? And it was just this massive loving. It'd be nice if Liverpool got something similar with Alonso in 12 months' time, but we'll see.
And just on the manager stuff, Tom, obviously before the game itself, there was a lot of talk about Sven-Göran Eriksson, obviously with his he told his Sky News that he was a Liverpool fan, a lifelong Liverpool fan. It was always a dream to manage in that home dugout, as opposed to obviously the away dugout. But there's a lot of feel-good factors there, wasn't there? What were your thoughts on seeing Sven in the dugout? Because he was quite emotional.
Yeah, it was a nice moment, wasn't it? I think the club didn't have to put that together. So it was really nice that they managed to arrange it for him. And you could see what it meant to him when he was there. And I think it was, really nice to see. You know, obviously he got emotional, and I think a lot of the people in the crowd were, appreciative of how much it meant to him to be there. And, I think Liverpool are particularly good at things like that when it's, for someone or for a certain cause. They always seem to find a way of doing something to, make someone's day or make someone's life in that case. So, no, it was really good. And, I think it was a nice touch from Liverpool.
I just liked how relaxed he was. Like, a few times that the curtain dropped in it, and he came out with his proper allegiances for Liverpool. Said a pre-match he wants them to win the league, and that how there was times when during his managerial career he quite couldn't be as open that he was a Liverpool fan.
Even at England, he said that.
Yeah, even when he was England manager. But now he doesn't care. He's just enjoying his day. He was delighted to be there at Anfield. He wants them to win the league. I love the moment as well when he met Klopp for the first time and he's practically bowing at him, and you could see what that meant to him, which is quite surreal.
Cause Sven, it was reciprocated though, wasn't it?
It was reciprocated because Sven is one of the best managers in European football of the last 30, 40 years. Like, granted, our generation will remember him more for being England manager and then just going to country after country and seem to pick up the
Man
money.
City as well,
Man City. But before that, when he was at Benfica, Roma, Lazio, he was brilliant. He won some great trophies, got to European Cup finals with unfancy teams. He is a managerial great, and it was great to see that moment between Klopp and Sven, which is a surprise as well, because Sven wasn't expecting him to be there. Klopp said himself he's always away when these legend games are on. So it was a very touching moment.
He was only in Cornwall or North Cornwall by then, wasn't he? But he made a short journey back. But we were there when we seen like the You Never Walk Alone, and he obviously led the players out first, and it was, I think I described it as more of like a goosebumps, because it just felt a bit more special with You Never Walk Alone and anything like that. What was your, how did it feel from where you were sat?
Yeah, it was just really nice. Like these Legends games, it's always a celebration of the players, but it was a celebration of Sven as well. And there is always this disconnection, isn't there, between Liverpool and England, and he will be in this country remembered most for being England manager. But over the course of this weekend, it's become more and more Sven's one of us, that he's a Liverpool fan. You can see how much it means to him. I love the moments when he's talking about why his dad supports the team, and he's watching the game back on telly in his homeland. His dad must be in his mid-90s now, and he's there playing with the remote, trying to get the right channel on so he can watch the Legends game, which was televised as well. But certainly, it felt right to celebrate Sven-Goran Eriksson, and so much love coming in for him. I like the moments as well with, was it Channel 4? They showed him all the good wishes from his former England players. He's just really loved, isn't he, in the football community. All the former players speak so highly of him. And now where there hasn't always been that connection between the national team and Liverpool fans, at least they can celebrate this managerial great as one of their own as well.
And Lee said he made himself emotional. He says, the club's awesome. Or awesome, I can't really say it. It is. Tom, the players ran over to Sven every time he celebrated, every time he scored, Vinal especially, and him and Torres shared that moment. So it almost just sort of encapsulates what Liverpool's about. And like you said before, where it's like, so these people can say something and then the club manages to get the momentum and they get this sort of stage where they can do whatever they want, especially on a record-breaking afternoon or what it was at Anfield.
Yeah, well, I think when it was first mentioned, it was from an interview he'd done, Sven, and I think it was kind of just passed around, kind of sparingly, like, oh, that would be nice, you know, sort of thing. But then I don't think anyone was really expecting it to just be arranged like within the next couple of weeks after that. So
he was a guest of honour for the England game as well. Yeah, Brazil.
So yeah, they managed to.
It makes you like him a bit more, doesn't it? That he sacked off going to the England game to come and manage Liverpool Legends instead.
Because of better trends than Alisson. What are you saying, Tom?
They managed to sort that quite quickly. I mean, I know it's only the Legends game, so it's a bit more easier to, you know, make that work. But it was still, you know, they've gone out the way to do it, haven't they? So it was really nice. I think really nice gesture.
And over the weekend, or moving away from the internationals, or the Legend game, sorry, the weekend saw Everton against Liverpool finally penciled in a midweek Wednesday. could still change, but for Liverpool, now that's sort of, is it maybe a boost that they've got the schedule a bit more in line now and you know where they're playing and when?
I don't think they'd really see it that way, because when you've got this intense run of fixtures, Liverpool always take it just one game at a time. Like maybe if they win the league, they'll come and say, oh, mind this up for a while, because they did that in 2020, but that was when they had such a lead. Now when it is so tight at the top, all they can do is focus on their own performances, their own results, and then see where it ends up at the end of that weekend. And even then, it doesn't matter. It's where it ends up at the end of May. This run is going to be really intense. Like I think I've got a piece that's going up. What, we are now 11:36, it'll be going up at midday, and it's 8 games in 24 days, something ridiculous like that. And that includes 4 away games on the trot, going to Bergamo to play Atalanta, West Ham, Everton, which is a bit of a blessing, and there's Fulham as well. I've probably got those two in the wrong way. It's Fulham before West Ham, but it's so intense. And you think that travelling, they're not going to get the time on the training pitch with the Europa League games being on the Thursdays as well. And when you think of the injuries they've had recently, that could really be crucial for them. It could be decisive. It could finish them off. Like you think, oh, we can win any of these games when it's a one-off game. You know who's available. You can fully prepare for it. But when you're playing every 3 days, you've got the preparation, you've got the recovery, and then you go again. It's intense. Like, it's a good thing they've got the players coming back from injury now. Like, we should see Curtis Jones, Konate and Darwin Nunez against Brighton. You're looking at Sheffield United or Manchester United for Jota and Trent. Not quite sure on when Alisson or Bisetic will be back, or maybe Thiago. That'll be end of April, start of May, you'd imagine. But with these bodies coming back, they're going to need them. And when you've got such a quick turnaround, so much travelling. Like, they did remarkably well to survive these last 3 months, only losing a couple of games, to still be right at the top of the table, to still be in Europa League. And it sort of came unstuck against Manchester United. That's why the FA Cup runs ended. But it's going to be so much harder now in April. It's coming together at a business end of the season, isn't it? You need these bodies back, and Liverpool just got to focus on themselves. Hopefully Arsenal slip up, hopefully Man City slip up, and hopefully they'll be holding off the Premier League trophy in May.
And Tom, I think with that rescheduling, sort of denied the chance of having Everton in the final or penultimate week of the season. So that works, probably takes a bit of the added incentive away from it, but is it maybe an advantage now for Liverpool playing midweek or maybe in an evening game, whereas opposed in recent weeks it's been half 12 kickoff, which has normally been a bit of a sticking point for Liverpool?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would say about that is if you're playing Everton as an evening game, I think that's probably worse for Liverpool, because Everton's atmosphere is quite good for night games, I would say. So I think they'll be well up for it if it's an evening game, which is going to be. So I'm not actually sure it works in their favour, particularly with it being, you know, coming to the end of Goodison and that sort of thing. People want to make the most of the last few games, like big games like that. So I'm not sure.
The position they find themselves in as well, so obviously an extra motivation for them.
Yeah, and I think if it's like a 3 o'clock kickoff, it probably wouldn't have been a 3 p.m. game anyway, half 4 or half 12. Yeah, I don't think you really get that same atmosphere as a night game a lot of the time, so yeah, I'm not sure it's a good thing. And it's usually ended in a draw when we play them there, so I'm not sure that that's the one fixture that's always a bit of a concern, really, no matter like where you are on the table. So that's one not particularly looking forward to.
I think everyone would be quite happy with where it's been put, but it could have been so much worse. Say Everton Stadium was going to be ready for them to move in at the start of next season, so it was the last ever derby at Goodison. It was the final away game of the season, their final home game of the season. When Liverpool can win the title, Everton can get relegated. That would be horrible for starters, for the policing and everything. But no one could handle the nerves of that game. For it to be a few weeks earlier, where the title can't be decided, relegation can't be decided, and you know there's still going to be a Goodison derby next year as well. It's much better than it could have been, put it that way.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
And just on the international break, we've seen obviously Joe Gomez start on the bench, Theo. What do you think is the thinking behind that from Southgate, obviously, with how good Gomez has been and starting behind Chilwell almost and then just getting a cameo? Is that probably good for Liverpool to see your defender only getting a few marginal minutes?
Well, it's always a strange relationship, isn't it, with these international games. Like, you're proud of the players and you're pleased for them when they get the calls up. When they're overlooked, you're fuming on their behalf. Like, you only need to look at the reaction when Kobbie Manu got that straight promotion into the senior team and Elliot's left in the 21s. But then when it's the actual game, your only feeling is, don't get injured. Like, if they do well, you're pleased for him. Like, when Trent was going in the field and getting all those goals and assists in last summer, you're pleased for him. Go and see, this is what we've been saying. But if it's just an average performance and it's a friendly, no one cares. Like, you just don't get injured. Like, I haven't seen the England game, but I did see like the substitutions and that. And Carl Walker started at right back, didn't he? And then he came off injured. And was it Konsa came on at right back. And I was looking at them going, why is he coming on ahead of Joe Gomez? But then the second thought is, actually, I don't care. It's a friendly. Spare the minutes. Let him just be part of the squad, get through it, injury-free, come back, and then focus on what it really means for Liverpool. Like, if Joe Gomez plays 20 minutes for England or 40 minutes, doesn't matter. You want him to have those extra minutes in his legs to win Liverpool the Premier League, to win them the Europa League. Well, we'll all be offended on his behalf if he doesn't make the squad for the Euros. Just a friendly.
And Tom, obviously, with Saka, he was a pretty much early sort of withdrawal along with De Bruyne. And now, obviously, Walker's gone for Man City as well. Maybe Walker's not so much the cynical in me, probably think, oh yeah, he's injured. But there's a slight, maybe when Alex Ferguson was in charge of Man United, where players mysteriously didn't turn up for these England games.
Yeah.
You only wish Liverpool could sort of do the same. But with these players sort of dropping, is there almost a concern with them moving away from the team and obviously offering more Liverpool players to be included in them squads?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, Liverpool don't really have the opportunity to do that trick. They've not got anyone left to even play in these games. They're all injured anyway. I mean, the Saka one, I think a few people predicted that like a few days before it happened, saying, oh, he'll probably withdraw before the first game, and then it happened like 2 days later. I mean, it's not a huge surprise given the game they've got coming up. It's a massive game for both of them.
I thought you meant England then. It's like, oh, it's just a French.
No,
I realise what you're
Arsenal City on Sunday. But yeah, I mean, Pep, you can definitely imagine him doing that sort of thing, trying to get the players back early. And yeah, I think it goes on probably quite a lot, that sort of thing. So yeah, maybe it will mean that we see Joe Gomez play against Belgium.
What, on the right wing?
Well, he might play. he's been playing there, he's been playing where he wants for Liverpool recently, stepping up everywhere. So, yeah, I don't know. We might see that maybe, but I think Southgate tends to have his, you know, favourite players anyway that he'll pick instead. So, I can't imagine Liverpool have anyone playing for England on Tuesday.
On this form he's had this season, he should be first choice in that team.
Yeah.
Maguire's not playing particularly well. They've got injuries at centre-back. Centre-back looks really weak. I think the only thing stopping him making that position his own is he doesn't play centre-back often for Liverpool. But then when you get over that initial feeling, it's just, I don't care. Come back injury-free. We appreciate what you can do for Liverpool. He's having the season of his life, whether he's playing left-back, right-back, centre-back, CDM. Just come back and win the trophy. So Liverpool come back injury free.
It'd be funny if he scored a goal for England, yeah. Wouldn't it?
we'll see.
I think Liverpool more than most have felt bound to those international breaks, the needless ones as well. I think we can probably argue to a blue in the face that it is pretty needless.
Oh, this one is pointless.
Wedge right in the middle of the season.
It's not even that. It's the fact that only Kostas Tsimikas has played competitive games. Or Endo, he had one World Cup qualifier. The second one got called off because of unforeseen circumstances in North Korea, whatever that means. But yeah, he came on as a substitute in that, and he'll already be back or on holiday, whatever, before they report for training. The under-21s have had some qualifiers, but everything else is just a friendly, apart from Tsimikas.
I think Diaz was in England, wasn't he?
Diaz played again at West Ham against Spain. He set up the goal, but he played the full 90 minutes. We're saying, hang on, he's supposed to have a groin injury. Yeah. It was supposed to be... their manager came out and said they were going to manage him carefully, and then they'll play in... they're playing some European side, I think, Romania, something like that, in Spain. And you've got all these pointless games. Like McAllister's playing in the United States. So what's the point? It's friendly. It's a waste of time. Get the competitive international games in, that's fine. But for the friendlies, let's just treat them like the internationals now. Have a look at the players that you don't know much about. You don't need to risk all your first teamers getting travelling all over the world when they're already knackered from all this club football.
I think we skated over at the beginning. Tom Nunes was omitted from the squad before even the ball was kicked. Mm. But I think it does seem like he may be more or less back for Brighton on Sunday, so I suppose. When these other things happen, it's good for the players to sort of get them breaks, especially when you've got Salah already, a special request to sort of stay back at home.
Yeah, I think it's probably a good thing that Nunez didn't play, because I can't imagine Bielsa's style of play really allows for taking it easy. So, it's probably a good thing that he hasn't played, really. And hopefully back for the weekend. We'll have to wait and see about that. But Liverpool could really do without losing another player, particularly in that part of the pitch. And he's been playing well recently, so he's been in good form. So I'm hoping that, you know, this doesn't disrupt that rhythm he seems to have found, you know, starting regularly. It'll be a shame, you know, to lose that. So, yeah, let's hope he's back for Sunday.
There you mentioned Elliot. I think we've seen him at Goodison for the under-21s, he sort of has been hitting form. He's almost enjoying football under Lee Carsley. And again, as you mentioned before, where Kobbi Mainoo, who only made his debut in September or something like that, gets selected over him, and he goes and scores two goals for the under-21s a few days later. It's almost maybe works in Liverpool's favour, like subconsciously, but it's more an extra drive for him, isn't it, where he's getting overlooked by Gareth Southgate, but then he can show what he does on the club stage of Liverpool as well.
Yeah, like when he played in that 21s game that we were at Goodison, he was on the fringes, wasn't he, for Liverpool? Like, he was coming on as a substitute. He wasn't really starting much. He was making impact, but he wasn't getting the goals and the assists. And then he goes and does that England game. He scores a couple. He was the absolute star player. I think my piece was along the lines of, right, now he needs to take this and do it at Liverpool. Carsley has shown the role you can get him in that midfield, where he can be a free role, but he can still do the defensive work with an inverted fullback or anything. and that would have been November. So since then, that's when he's really come on leaps and bounds for Liverpool in terms of he's starting games. He's had to start games because of the injuries. He's making more of an impact. He's getting goals. He's getting assists. And he has taken that next step in his game. And when you look at all the injuries in England squad, he would have deserved that call-up. That's no doubt about it. He's been superb. He plays a number of positions. But he didn't. And at least he's got that point to prove. Like, you can understand from a certain point of view, he is one of the first players on that team sheet for the 21s. He's maybe captain. Maybe they don't want to lose him, and they can look at it as an opportunity to look at someone else. But it's strange, considering he should be a player that could make a late run in for the squad for the Euros. But if you went to Harvey Elliott, would you rather be on the bench for England or playing regularly for Liverpool, winning trophies? It's no contest. Club comes before country for him. We know how much he loves playing for Liverpool, and he will love playing for England as well. He's got another game, I think, against Luxembourg tomorrow to stake his claim. I'm going to go to that one. There'll be some piece of doing him saying should be in the first team, but just keep playing for Liverpool and do well. Can already write it now, can't I, pretty much? But yeah, he deserves a call-up. If he doesn't come, I'm sure he'll just come and get a Jurgen Klopp hug when he's home. That'll motivate him for the rest of the season.
And Tommy, just the final thing on England, because we probably went on about them for too long, really. But Jones was well in contention, or in the conversation, wasn't he? As much as how you describe it. But he was well in contention for a call-up, and yeah, some talk about a possible move for all possible selection in the summer as well.
You're selling him up there.
Arsenal are linked to him.
Do you like him yet? If you,
he's been doing well, hasn't he? Yeah.
So you're not writing him off anymore?
Well, I didn't write him off. I just said
You said you didn't think he was a very good player last year. You've been writing him off for months.
He's improved a lot in the last year. That's all I'm going to say.
That was kind of young men, by the way. I didn't even think that. I've forgotten their senior face when I mentioned them when I realised.
This season, he's definitely got a lot better. I mean, last year, he was just really frustrating player to watch, but I think he's got a lot better in terms of, you know, moving the ball on, not keeping it for too long when he doesn't need to. I think that was probably the biggest thing. So yeah, I think this year's been a really, you know, big step up.
Good to see him in the England squad in the summer, do you think?
Well, I don't know, there's a lot of competition there, isn't there? I think
Calvin Phillips,
well, I don't know, if Elliot's not getting in,
Jones would get in ahead of Elliot.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, he's got a chance, hasn't he? We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, he could get in, but I think it would be pretty unlikely. I mean, I don't think it's like nailed on at all for that. So I'd probably say got an outside chance at the moment of that. The injury obviously hasn't helped him now.
Yeah, I reckon if he hadn't got injured, yeah, he'd have been in this squad. And now it's just what you achieve in the next 2 months. If he comes in and he makes himself first choice in Liverpool midfield again, it's probably four players competing for three places, isn't it? Liverpool, McAllister, Endo, Szoboszlai, Jones.
Yeah.
If he can really stake his claim with them, get that place, win a trophy, do well in Europe, then he should be knocking at that door.
Mainu get picked, you think?
This is the Blood Red podcast.
But he probably will, I think. He probably will. Yeah.
Segueing perfectly into it, obviously Jones should be back around Brighton, or if not, the game after. Yeah. But it's almost a massive sort of final month and a bit for him, isn't it? Where he's been in absolutely brilliant form this season. He's helped Liverpool. It was almost a bona fide starter before his injury. And now he's going to have to sort of build himself back up into it once again.
Yeah, like, it's been a strange season for Liverpool's midfielders, because they've all had these stages of looking at the business and thinking, oh, their first choice on the team sheet. Like, there was a time when Szoboszlai started the season on absolute fire and he was the greatest midfielder ever. McAllister was taking a bit of time to settle. Endo was taking a bit of time to settle. Then Szoboszlai's form obviously dropped off a little bit. McAllister comes in and he looks a really good number six, but then he gets injured. Endo then looks a really good number six. And then Jones, because of all the injuries, he's getting a chance when Szoboszlai was injured. And it's like, he's first name on that team sheet. But now the three have been available, have been playing brilliantly. And if Jones can come in, pick up his form really quickly, get back to it. Like, the injury came at a bad time. But it's a real dilemma for Jurgen Klopp. But it's a welcome one as well. Because when you think the last few weeks, this is the midfield because they're the only three available. This is the front three because they're the only three available. To actually be able to go between a few. And it isn't going to be a case of this is a first choice one, because they play Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. Not in that order, because that's too much in a week. But you know what I mean? They have so many games. They're going to need to share the responsibility between all those legs if they're going to have any chance of winning the Premier League and the Europa League this season.
And Tommy obviously bemoans the international break not too long ago. But now, it's almost sort of been wedged in the perfect time for Liverpool, where they've afforded these injuries. And, well, like Theo was saying, there was a time where there's so many. Like, I'm thinking off the top of my head, I can't remember who is injured anymore because there's that many. But
I've just written out, I think there's 10 left at the moment. And that's when, if you include Konate, who's with France, you include Nunes, who we expect to be back. Gakpo, we're not counting, but that's like Doak. Who else we got? We've got Alisson, Thiago, Pesetic, Jones. I should have been counting on my fingers here to make sure I've got them all. We know all the names by now. We've written about them enough the last couple of months. It is a long injury list, but we could have five of them back within the next 2 weeks.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
It probably is almost the perfect time to sort of have this break where you've afforded the time to have this recovery and always coming back for the business end of the season. So, like, perfect for Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks ago would have been even better for the Man City game if you had a few back for that. But, I think now, obviously, we've got important fixtures coming up. Europa League, quarterfinal, followed by the semi-final, maybe. And then obviously the run-in for the Premier League. So, yeah, it's a really crucial time for Liverpool to get these players back and just hope there's no more injuries from now to the end of the season because, yeah, you can just see it happening, can't you? Someone will come back and then someone else will get injured like 2 games later.
Fop joked about this last time. They're on the verge of absolutely everyone back and someone asked him in the press conference about the competition and then they just seem to lose everyone to injury, and he said, anyone ask me that question again, I'll chuck them out.
Yeah.
Obviously he was joking, but you can see the frustration there. Hopefully this time it isn't a false dawn.
Yeah,
I think Tom, the player has sort of been forgotten is Bešetić, and training pictures were released this week where he looks almost like a different man.
Yeah.
He came back and he's grown, he looks he's filled out a bit more, and he could be a real asset for Liverpool, couldn't he?
He's going for the Jack Grealish calves with the looks of the pictures, but yeah, he was really good, wasn't he, last season? I think he was like the only positive of the really bad.
So when the season's that bad, you can sort of overlap what he actually was.
It was like a bit like Man United, isn't it? Now with Mainoo, you kind of get that one sort of young emerging player that makes everything a bit more positive when things aren't going well. So he was kind of taking on that role, wasn't he, last year for Liverpool? And he was really good most of the games he played. And it's a bit of a strange one because he's been out for ages now, and every time there's an update on him, it's always like, yeah, he's almost there. He's just been doing some work at the training ground. He's always around, but I think Klopp's, when he was asked about him recently, was like, yeah, I've seen him training. He looks really good, but he's not ready. And it's always like, when is he going to be ready?
I don't think it's strange and you need to be impatient with him because he played more football than he was ready for last season because of how bad everything was with the midfield. Like, we've seen a number of these young players, they've had to be thrown in the deep end a little bit, and when they are, they do get injuries.
It's a parallels with Jones as well, because it seems like a sort of the growth, obviously, you know what growth's about to happen, but I think with the intensity and how much the training workload is for these players, especially when you're...
They're still teenagers, 18, 19. They're still boys. Like, we've seen it with Conor Bradley as well when he had the back issues. Calvin Ramsey's had the same. Granted, he's been out on loan a lot, but if you do have this intensity and they're playing the games, they are going to pick up injuries and there are problems with the growth. But if you don't rush them, you're not putting the pressure on them, and they can just get right in their own time behind the scenes, then they're ready to be unleashed. Like, they tried to get him back, didn't they, in September, October. He picked up another issue. But they don't need to rush him back. They've got Endo there. They've got McAllister there. You can just maybe give him a few substitute appearances in the final month of the season, then let him have a full pre-season, and then he's ready to go under the new manager. Like, he's still so young. He's still a teenager. And last year, he looked like a boy. From what we're seeing now, he has built up a bit. He's got the muscle. He's grown. He could be a real ready to go talent for the new manager next season.
I think he's effectively been out for a year. Like, he only came back briefly in September, but if you're talking about the total time, it's a long time for what was seen as at first as not a hugely serious injury. So that's a bit concerning. But
I'm not concerned. But
it's a
long time, but it's just what happens with young players.
Still only 18, I think, isn't he? 18, 19.
When they've got these growth issues, That is what happens. Steven Gerrard had it as well. That's why he didn't break through like Owen and Carragher. That's why he was a little bit later. It worked out well for everyone in the end, didn't it? When they're that young, you put the pressure on them, they get injuries. When you don't need to, and they can just develop in their own time, you're better for it.
I think I've got a question off Lee Wizkid here. He's asked about Jota. time frame, I think, on the eve of the last game, can't remember who Liverpool played. But
United.
completely eclipsed that one out of my memory. But no, he's asked when Jota's back, and I think Klopp said it was around the same time as Trent. They're not far, but maybe a week after the return.
Moment, it's going to be Konate, Jones and Darwin back for Brighton. Obviously, we're not at the press conference yet from this week, so things could change. Players could come back quicker or slower with the international break. But the last update was those three were back for Brighton, and then it'd be a week after for Trent and Jota. So all being well, Sheffield United, if not, could have Jota back for Manchester United. Same for Trent. And then it's just Alisson, Bacetic, Jones and Thiago who we're waiting on, I think, because Matip's out for the season. It's a bit cryptic, isn't it, with like an Alisson? Because I've always said he's not out for the season, but it's a really bad one. So whether that means April or May, it's hard to say. At least Keller has been so good in his absence. Klopp's been also a bit cryptic about Thiago, saying he's not out for the season, but at the same time, you're getting the feeling that he's not going to make much of an impact, and his Liverpool career is essentially over, barring one or two substitute appearances. At least Bacetic, you know, is there for the future. And Doke as well, who's been unlucky this season. I think earlier in the campaign, when he was doing the Europa League games and the League Cup games, but he was on the bench a lot, he was missing out by not having minutes with the under-21s. It was just ironic that when they gave him a game for the 21s, it's when he got injured. He'd have probably played a bit more last couple of months with the injuries elsewhere. But yeah, he's another one you've got to be patient with.
And just finally, before we end this week's, or this today's episode at least, Brighton on Sunday, Roberto De Zerbi, Klopp, final meeting together.
That famous rival between Klopp and De Zerbi.
But he's been obviously been tentatively slightly linked with the Liverpool job, and I don't think Klopp's beaten him since he's took over at Brighton. Is it almost... I don't think so.
How many times have they played each other?
I mean, we might have beaten them once.
No, I think it was 2, wasn't it, this year? Then they lost the cup game, they got battered and away, and they drew 3-0. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. See, I need to back myself with the stats after last time. But is it almost an audition for him, obviously, with everything that's going on?
I find the managerial search strange, because everyone wants Alonso. So even if the club are looking elsewhere and they've got their other targets, all the supporters still want Alonso, and it's going to be a bit underwhelming if it's somewhere else. If Alonso had agreed to go to Real Madrid, say December time, before Ancelotti signed his new contract with Real Madrid, and you think, well, that was a done deal, then he'd be someone you'd be excited about. He'd be someone you'd be looking at. Like, first half of the season and last season, he was looking amazingly. But then this year, it's not quite happened the same way for Brighton, but that was to be expected. They're in Europe for the first time. They've lost a couple of big players. They were always going to drop off, like Newcastle as well. There's the added stress of playing in Europe, having those extra fixtures. You're going to get injuries, and the star player Matoma's out for a while. So they've been inconsistent and not been able to show what they can do. There are Liverpool connections with De Zerbi still, because the new sporting director, Richard Hughes, did try to hire him as Bournemouth manager when they sacked Scott Parker at the start of last season. I think the only thing that stopped it was this Bournemouth takeover didn't go through in time, so they had to wait and Brighton pounced. But he's still an up-and-coming, exciting manager in the Premier League. He'll get a good move, you'd imagine, whether that's this summer, next year after. He's due a higher level. If he became Liverpool manager, I'm sure the fans would take to him, but it's a bit early to be saying this is an audition for the Liverpool job, because at the moment, everyone on the outside just wants Alonso, and when you've only just got Michael Edwards back through the door, the sporting director's only just been appointed as well, that search is still very much, it could go in any direction.
And Tom, putting you on the spot, even after Brighton's slump in recent weeks, are you still in the Roberto De Zerbi camp?
I quite like him, yeah. I think he's a good manager. I think he would suit way Liverpool play. Like, his style of play would probably work quite well. So if they're not able to get Alonso, I think he would be a decent choice. I know a lot of people aren't so keen on this shout, but I wouldn't mind Thomas Frank as well. I think he would be a decent option, but I'm pretty sure he won't be as popular as the other ones. But I think those two would do a good job at a bigger club in the Premier League if they were given the chance.
And I think on that Thomas Frank bombshell, let out the comments just like that one. But we'd like to thank you for joining this week. If you're watching on Facebook, make sure you like the video, the live, and our Facebook page. If you're watching on YouTube, like, subscribe, and ding-dong that notification bell. I've been Stephen Killen, joined by Tom Gavier, and Theo Squires. Thank you.
Yeah.
Overall to the career. Thanks for joining. I think we should be back on Friday for Good Friday. Hopefully it's a brilliant Friday. Have a good rest of the week and thank you very much for watching.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.